Hey, it's We Talk Comics are here with Curtis Weeb and Tyler Jenkins, of the artist and writer of Peter Panzerhouse. They've been kind enough to give us a few minutes. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your book.
I am Curtis. I am the writer. And
I'm Tyler. I'm the artist.
And Peter Panzerhouse is a World War II retelling of the Peter Pan mythology. And turn of the century.
Capturing turn of the century ideals of adventure and all that, like, turn of the century.
Fun.
There you go. Yeah.
So you're the artist, so eloquent. We shouldn't expect, is that?
You got it.
All right. So we'll talk to Curtis now.
I'll just.
We're here at Alpha Comics where you guys are doing a signing. How's that been going today?
It's good. Yeah, we had right away. There's people waiting here when we got here, so that was exciting.
Very cool. Yeah.
Very excited fans.
Yeah, people seem really excited about, had their favorite scenes picked out, wanted to tell us, you know, stuff they loved. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell me kind of what's the inspiration for this? How long have you been thinking about this book? And you guys, I know you worked together before. Was it Snow Angel from Arcana Studios? A book I was trying to find here in Calgary, could not find a copy. Probably going to have to order one online.
Yeah, good luck.
On that. Yeah, I think Comixology might have something, they said. But it's a little bit difficult.
You might be able to find it for free on Tyler's website. Now, that's not a public knowledge.
It's just if you it happen
is,
to watch.
But it is now.
It is
go
now.
To, go to Tyler's website and you can read the whole thing for free.
Until we get a cease and desist?
Yeah.
We'll be up there.
What's your website then?
TylerJenkins.ca.
.ca. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. TylerJenkins.ca. See how I did that?
That's very nice. Very nice.
Professional. All right. Well.
Slurred it right into
progress. Slurred it right in. Well, that's okay. Now, okay. Well, thank you guys very much. I think that's it then, because now we're going to get sued. No. Well, you guys obviously, what is the difference? That is kind of my question, actually, about Snow Angel. Let's say I tried to find it. I was curious about it. In some ways, if it's difficult to find, it seems strange to ask you about the book. So I just wanted to actually know, since that was Arcana Studios, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
So what's the difference? This one, Peter Panzerhouse, is coming out through Image. And what's kind of the difference between working with that major publisher and a smaller publisher? What are you guys finding to be? I mean, this is not your first time working with Image, Curtis, but
we're gonna get in trouble in this interview.
Yeah.
I think.
We try.
Well, let's just kind of glaze. Just go straight past the Arcana topic, and with Image Central, it's a creator-owned project. So we pitch it to them; they basically agree to publish it. But Tyre and I own the rights for the property. It's ours. So if you know Hollywood comes knocking, and it's our decision.
But that's not
we get a piece too, right?
That's not the end goal, right?
Yeah, it's just one of the comic. It's the you get to own the property, and then for us, that's you get to retain the ownership of, and that's the prime difference between Arcana. Whereas we actually were hired by a local film studio to write Snow Angel, and it actually came about from a mutual. Well, you actually met him first, and
he did that poster for him.
Yeah, he did a poster. He's like, "Oh, this looks like this poster could have a story." And so I got hired to write it, and he got hired to do it. And then that film studio is actually who lined up that publication. So we were hired to do that project. So Peter Panzerfaust is the first project that we've been talking about this for about 3 or 4 years now. Yeah. And it's the first project we've been able to work
on
that's
ours. I called Peter Panzerhouse, didn't I?
You did.
I did.
I didn't want to step in there.
No.
Peter Panzerhouse, Peter Panzer, whatever.
Really, now you're obligated to write another book.
Yeah.
Peter Panzerhouse.
Now you'll have two books coming out, a Peter Panzerhouse and a Peter Panzerhouse.
Yeah.
We'll see which does better.
We'll leave that one to you.
You're welcome. Brett will fix that in edit. Panzerhouse. Throw that in there.
Panzerhouse.
Hey, throw that in there.
This time.
Absolutely. So, okay, this is a project you say that this is obviously then a little more close to your heart. So what's it like when somebody comes to you with a project like Snow Angel? How much is that, do you look at it just work for hire? Is that just essentially what it was?
It was work for hire, but it was totally like creative, like direction on our part. It was something, it was a story we told it the way we wanted to tell it.
We had total freedom. Like, it was like, we developed from the ground up. So it's totally us, you know.
Yeah, the story had nothing, like none of it had anything to do with the studio. It was just a poster that had no story attached to it. We were like, well, let's spin this whole story about these characters.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really work for hire.
Yeah, I mean, we had complete control. So basically he said, this is kind of what I'm looking for. He wanted to kind of begin to brand us, I think, was what he was looking for, to like bring up our name a bit and get our names out there. So, I mean, he was a friend, essentially, that really was helping us out. So we did that, and then I think we were happy with it. It took took about 3 years to come out. It only came out in spring, and that was after I emailed Arcana, and I was like, hey, I have like two, that was when Intrepids and Green Wake were coming out, and I was like, I have two books coming out. You should put this book out already.
Yeah.
And then they finally, like, because they'd been delaying it for years and years and years, and then finally they, oh, okay, yeah, maybe we should. So
when was this project, you say they're delaying it for years? And when was it first coming out then? When did you?
It came, well, I don't know, when did it come out? It was supposed to come out in, like, 2008, I think, and then it, yeah, yeah,
that's
it
was finished it.
It was, like, 2011 that it came out,
yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. in spring, I think.
Yeah.
And then you, Tyler, I know you did some coloring for Proof.
Yeah.
So that's your first published work that people would have seen then as a
I
as a
color?
Yeah.
So in comics like, world, yeah, absolutely.
Do you did you color this one as well?
No, actually, no? We have Alex coloring this. Alex Salazzo.
Yeah.
Okay. So you say
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you kind of look at a coloring as a how is that as an experience? Is that kind of like a, what do you think enhance the book for somebody else?
This Alex does such a fantastic job bringing yeah. the mood. Like brings all the mood to the whole book. It's something that we started off because I didn't have time to do it.
Yeah.
But that's unfortunately that's not where it ended up. Like he's brought so much. He's done a much better job of the coloring than I could do. Much better.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic job.
Okay. Yeah, he does. He does Morning Glories as well. Okay, he colors perfect. That too. So.
Terrific. So he's experienced.
Yeah.
Whereas you did four issues of Proof. So, you know.
Pretty
yeah, screwing around. He's screwing around. That's right. Proof's a damn good book, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of a damn good book, I've read the first eight issues of Green Wake.
Okay.
Looking forward to reading issue number 9. The next series is wrapping up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, after number 10, this book is such high quality. Imagine there's disappointment seeing it wrap up after 10 issues.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had planned, I had a roughly a 25-issue plan, and essentially I found out after I'd already written issue 9 that basically our Jim Valentino, who runs the Shadowline, he emailed us and said, guys, here's the numbers for, I think it was number 8 or 9 or something like that, and they weren't good. Like, our numbers kept on dropping, and even though we got, like, you know, lots of really positive reviews, just we couldn't get readers. And, yeah, so we made the decision to cancel it. That was our decision. It wasn't the publisher. It was it basically we couldn't afford to do it anymore. It was just we weren't making enough money. So I found out after I'd written number 9 that basically I either needed to make the decision to cancel it and wrap things up or pause it and then maybe come back to it later, but we'd always promised from day one that we would answer the questions, and so I made the decision to like finish it in 10, which basically means I had 15 issues of stuff to wrap up in one issue. So Jim gave me an extra 6 pages, and I'm actually really happy with it. As far as disappointment, yes and no. I wrote Green Wake at a pretty dark time in my life, and that time is gone. So it was actually getting very difficult to write because I was drawing on some really, you know, hard experiences that I was going through. So I was actually happy in a sense to kind of like wrap it up and be done with it because it was kind of an old part of my life. But, you know, all my stuff now, like Peter Pan's Faust, is kind of light and adventurous. I have Grim Reaper coming out in May, and that's just kind of, again, just ridiculous silliness. And then I have another one coming out in summer with Riley, again, called Debris. And that one, again, is just kind of a light adventure story. So that's kind of where I'm at my writing. So it kind of was serendipitous, I guess, that it worked out that way.
You know, you said it's coming from a dark place in your life when you're writing that. And it does come across. A lot of people are calling that a horror book. It didn't really feel to me like a horror book, more like a dark David Lynch-inspired dream. How would you describe Green Wake to people?
David Lynch was definitely an influence. Lynch and Cronenberg and... there's, you know, I really like Cronin's work, body horror stuff, you know, like his weird flesh manipulation horror stuff is really creepy, and that's definitely a bit in the story. But Green Wake itself is like a kind of a mystery noir in a
horror either.
Yeah, in a kind of a science fiction-y fantasy setting. It's heavily soaked in metaphor, so it's very hard to explain because there's a lot going on in it.
There is a lot going on.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, that's one of the things about it, both with the art and the way that it's kind of a minimalistic approach mm-hmm. into your dialogue and such. I think to myself, this is a book that could have been really difficult to follow, but it isn't. It's you know, you did a really good job of pulling us along and keeping us understanding the narrative and what's going on. Are you aware when you're doing something like that of the, and same as an artist as well, how aware are you of people that are reading this, and how aware of you are just of what you're doing for yourself?
Definitely aware that people have to read this. Especially with the storytelling panel to panel, that kind of thing, it has to be super clear. and that's by far my most important goal, is to tell the story clearly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's easy when you're doing it to get wrapped up in, like, well, this makes sense to me. And that was Green Wake, was especially that way. It made sense to me because I knew exactly what it meant, and I knew where it was going, and I knew the mythology. But you have to be very cautious. Like, the reader has no idea. So it's a constant balance of, like, being mysterious, but at the same time being forward enough. Peter Panzerfaust is a little bit easier because it's a little bit more straightforward.
From the writing, I think. From the art, yeah. I mean, it's really easy to go, oh, this would look so cool, but that's super irrelevant. We just talked about that yesterday. I'm
yeah.
Like, want to do like the super over the top dramatic thing. It's yeah. like, oh, it actually makes no sense, despite how cool and fun it would be to draw.
And originally, this is kind of funny, where you have to always be knowledgeable of the tone, and like be just really focused on what you're trying to do with the story and who the character is. The original ending for Peter Panzerfaust number one, do you remember it? In this one, he comes up and he does the wolf cry behind the soldier. And the first time I wrote the last panel, basically Peter pops out and just shoots the guy in the back of the head. I'm just like, that's a bit dick dark, move. I don't think that's what we're supposed to do with this
Peter
story.
Right there.
Yeah. So like, it was so wrong, and I realized after I wrote it, so you just have to be very cautious of it, I think.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time then.
All right, welcome.
I want to thank you guys, Tyler. Thank you very much for your time. Welcome. Curtis, thank you very much for your time. Hopefully I'll have an opportunity to talk again in the future. I have a lot of stuff didn't get a chance to get to, but I want to thank also Alpha Comics here in Calgary for bringing you guys in and giving us an opportunity to talk to you, and thank you very much. It was a great conversation.
Right,
thank you.
Thank you.